The weekly conversations with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Conversation Room. We welcome everyone here in this room to come together and study the new revelation that has unified all religions of the world and fulfilled the prophecies of coming of these teachings. In this room, basically, we are here to discuss this revelation, and we ask everyone to go to our website or come to our rooms and study and learn about these teachings and come to this room and discuss with us in a greater degree how all the religions of the world now unified and how the promises that God has given to humanity is fulfilled. Since I do explain the teaching here most of the time, I decided to make the teachings and explanation in a more orderly way, and I will go over the topics of the mission and will cover everything in the mission as we go along. But if you have a question, you can raise your hand anytime. Of course, you should have been in our website and studied our teachings, so know something about it when you raise your hand. Otherwise, text is where you type your questions. I'd like to start today with the verses from the Genesis, very beginning of chapter 1. We study this part because it is such a revelation to humanity, and understanding of these few verses really opens up a great truth and understanding that a lot of humans have not grasped it, and that has been one of the reasons of creation of so much separation and destruction in human history and at this time. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You can see God created heaven and the earth, but this earth is not the same as the earth that we know. It is not solid, it is void and without form. So it is not talking about this earth, but talking about the heaven or pure consciousness, and earth as a state of consciousness or hell or this creation. And then right away it talks about, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the darkness was in the beginning of the creation, before even the creation was started. So it goes very well with our teachings that something went wrong in the beginning, and the equilibrium in the universe was disturbed, and therefore darkness, which was the feeling of separation from the rest of the universe, was created, even the Bible does not explain what made that darkness to be created and what is the reason of that darkness. We explain it could have been a desire become self-centered, and that was the reason for that separation and darkness. This part about the darkness and the existence of this darkness from the very beginning have not understood it a lot of religions, especially Judeo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i teachings, and they start from the creation that God created everything. They do not include that there was a darkness even before the creation was created. Of course, they talk about the devil that revolt against God, and therefore there was a great war between God and the devil, and devil was created by God. That does not explain this darkness that was before even creation was created. Therefore, the darkness, the destruction, the ignorance, the feeling of separation is built into creation, and it was there before even creation was created. How it's been created and why a part of the creation becomes self-centered and was separated from the light, it's very hard to explain because there was no mind. There was no memory, there was no knownness in the universe. The universe was in a complete state of equilibrium and bliss. That's why even in Bible it doesn't say where it came from and how it was started. And a lot of people come to our room and ask why there is so much sufferings and destruction. If God is powerful and created everything, therefore, why should we have all this destruction and darkness which exists on earth? This explains it very clearly, that darkness is a part of the universe, and actually the whole universe is created. So the unit consciousnesses progress and reach pure consciousness and overcome this darkness and the feeling of separation from the rest of the universe and God, which was the reason for that darkness. The reason I emphasize this over and over is for all the religion to see this truth so they don't blame God for darkness in the universe, but the darkness is something that humanity have to overcome to see it clearly and realize that God is everything. And he is light, and the darkness is fallen part of the universe, and therefore start working on themselves and realizing that they are a part of the solution by progressing toward becoming one with the light. And that part is the part a lot of Judeo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i people miss it. In a mystical path, they have a concept as Maya, and they emphasize that Maya is as strong as God, and the Maya, of course, as we explained, is the illusion of separation from God. So they have some concept that they have to work on themselves toward becoming one with the Spirit of God, and actually that is the mystical path, and meditation is all about. We meditate to know ourselves, and although all the religions say, know thyself to know God, but mystical path gives you a way to do it, by meditation, awakening of spiritual forces. Therefore, this part has to be understood clearly with humanity, and those religions that do not have this part, or do not emphasize on it, by this realization, they will not blame God for the problems on earth, but blame themselves, which have the feeling of the separation from God. And because of that delusion, it is very hard for them to recognize and accept and understand that God is everything. If God is everything, There is no separation between any parts and any other part. And those who do not have the feeling of God is everything, they are in Maya or delusion of the separation from God. And it goes on and says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. That's another great realization has to come to man, that the Spirit of God or Christ came to that darkness in the very beginning, and therefore God came to this darkness and manifested itself to it to realize and recognize what is it. It was a darkness on the deep. God was concerned how it was created in his body, because he was in bliss and absolute absorption in its own being. It was just was. Now there was a darkness. Now he projects his spirit into this darkness as Christ, as the manifestation of God into that darkness or coming to this creation. Therefore, the Spirit of God or Christ did not come only by Isa or Christ. It came from the very beginning of the creation. By this understanding, we realize that the Spirit of God manifests itself into this darkness or creation any time that it is necessary for humanity to receive a new light or be guided from this original darkness toward the oneness and return to the light or God. Therefore, by this understanding, again, we realize that the Spirit of God came to that darkness from the very beginning. That, again, will explain and help. Every time the Spirit of God came, he came as the Messiah or the manifestation of that light to man, and he came many times. He came as Krishna, as Shiva, as Buddha, as Muhammad, as Bab, as Baba, as Christ, as Moses, and many times he manifested himself into this darkness, because from the very beginning he manifested himself into that darkness. They were decided in the darkness, and God said, let there be light. He wanted that darkness to go away and return to light, and there was light. So the Spirit of God goes through that process of reaching pure consciousness, which is the eternal divine path. He meditated, he recognized and realized the nature of the darkness, which was the feeling of the separation from God, being in the delusion and illusion that they are not a part of God. For anybody who does not feel they are a part of God, any religion or ideology or teachings that do not teach you you are indeed a part of God, they are in a delusion of separation from God, and that is ignorance, is Maya, is suffering and destruction, because you separate yourself from the others. You don't see that the essence of God is also in other people, and therefore you create suffering for yourself and other people. By this understanding that God went through meditation, awakening our spiritual forces, we have to go through meditation and awakening our spiritual forces. That first, the Spirit of God had to see what is the nature of this darkness. He realized little by little that self-centeredness and the delusion and illusion of being separated from the light of God is the reason the darkness is created in the first place. This recognition and realization led to attracting those who are interested or are progressing toward returning to God or light, and therefore the concept of a community of light or gathering of the like-minded people together and helping one another to create an environment which is godly and encourages person to know self more and more. With this realization, he start attracting other beings toward himself and create an environment that they also will meditate and go toward that light. So the next step in the eternal divine path is the creation of an environment which godliness is the most important part of that environment, and all out effort to bring all actions, all thoughts to a point that we become more and more godly and less ungodly. And that is the essence of the efforts in the Communities of Light. We create an environment that that kind of situation is created. Therefore, man will have a place of safety and peace and provided their physiological and safety need. And therefore, they can have time to sit, meditate, recognize these teachings in a greater degree, and become a person that manifests light to this darkness or to this world. The more communities of light we create, the more light we can manifest in this darkness, and we can help the darkness to turn around, go toward the light, which is God. He recognized and realized in order to create such a communities, such an environment, individuals have to sacrifice, to give up themselves and forget about self-centeredness, but become community-centered, God-centered, light-centered, and little by little progress toward becoming a person who can manifest the Spirit of God toward themselves. That is the third seal, the sacrifice. And not only you do sacrifice, you are not going to be attached to the result of your action. Because you sacrifice and you are attached to the result. Not that you do not expect result, you do expect result, but you are not attached to it. You do your best and you leave the result to God. Therefore, you free yourself from the bondage of the karma. If you are not attached to the result of your action and you are doing God's will and following the eternal divine path, you will not create karma or sin or separation from God. The more you become a person who let God come through, which is the submission, which is greater even than surrendering, the more you and His spirit or light become one. And therefore your actions will become God's action, and God's action, of course, do not create any karma, any feeling of separation of delusion or maya. Therefore the fourth seal is the seal of the surrendering and submission to God, and he recognized that that is necessary in order we become a channel of light. We become the children of Israel, the light bearer, the children of light. The next step, we recognize that if God is everything, God is everywhere, and there is no separation between any part of the universe and any other part, and so he recognized that he has to become universalist, shatters all narrowness of the mind, of mine and thine, as separation that ego likes to create for man. This he shattered all narrowness of the mind. He became a channel of light. He sacrificed for the community. He created an environment that helped everybody to accelerate their progress. And he continued to meditate and better his environment. With this, he became an elect. He became a light bearer. He became a child of God. That is the sixth seal. That is the result of going to the eternal divine path. And he realized by creating more of these paraviprasas or elects, he can create an environment more and more to accelerate the progress of the whole universe to pure consciousness.
And these are the people who will help others to follow eternal divine path and eventually reach pure consciousness. So there was light. When this occurred, God said, and there was light. I have to mention again, the reason I'm doing this, I'd like to bring a more cohesive kind of an explanation of all our teachings, so more and more people can see the whole picture of this revelation. I see how perfect it is and how it fits all together in a cohesive way and bring great truth to humanity. In this stage, everything was in essence, and the darkness still was completely self-centered and powerful, and they could still use the creation and its power and energies for selfish desires, and therefore maybe that's where Judeo, Christian, Islamic, Baha'i teachings talk about the war between God and the devil, because darkness still had the power to create problem in the universe. Therefore, God decided to create a better system, or man, or that darkness become more and more under his control. That's why he decided to create the creation, to accelerate this process by creating an environment the man will become attached to and fall and have desires and wants to fulfill them through this creation, which is the relative truth, not ultimate or the essence. And because it is not ultimate and the human spirit longs for infinity, because they came from the infinity, and they cannot satisfy these longings with this finite world, they will fall into Maya and suffer for many, many lifetimes until they reach a point that they recognize and realize this external world does not give the satisfaction that they long for. Therefore, creation started. God created the universe. The rest of the chapter in Genesis explains how God planned the creation, and he taught how he can create this creation in the external world, and eventually he created man. God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. He created man in his image, and he created more than one. So each man and woman, or each human being, were male and female in one being. We can see God created them in his image, and they were man and woman. We have a question. Quest for Truth is asking, how can things go wrong with God? For God is everything. It is not something going wrong in a sense of the aware God created such a disturbance, but a part of the universe became self-centered, and somehow the equilibrium between the forces was disturbed. So that part went out of hand. And that is the question that I was saying, even in the Bible, it doesn't explain how that darkness was created. He explained it as there was a desire. What was that desire itself? It's disputable, and many people can explain it in different ways. But the most important thing, such a thing happened, and that darkness was created. We are in the image of God, and we can make things go wrong for ourselves. Therefore, we do have the ability to create environments that they are not all good. If we can do that, a part of God also can go astray and feel separated from the rest of the universe. We have to understand God exactly it is, not what we have been taught it should be. So if we can realize that, this is the fact of the scriptures. This is the fact of this creation, that something went awry, something went wrong, and therefore darkness was upon the deep. Therefore, the universe can go wrong and separated from God, and that is the fact of the explanation of our religion. If we believe there was no darkness, how can that darkness is being created? Then we have created an incorrect God or a state of the universe, and we will become very confused, as many religions are, and some people even have rejected God because the explanation of those religions are not logical. But the truth of the matter is that something did go wrong, and there was darkness, and God is trying to turn around that darkness back to light. That is what the baptism is. Baptism means to turn around. If God is perfect and there is nothing goes wrong in this universe, why suffering? Why destruction? Why all the darkness that we see on earth? The creation on earth and human is called darkness, and there is a hell and there is a heaven. If that is true and everything is God and everything should not go wrong, why do we need hell? Everything should be in heaven. But as we explain, everything is God, but not everything is in pure consciousness. And therefore there is hell because we are not in pure consciousness. And with this explanation, everything makes sense. So if the universe can go wrong and there can be darkness, it really is not God is doing it. That is the nature of the universe, and we are responsible to turn around. We are responsible to meditate, awaken our spiritual forces, and go through the eternal divine path and create an environment that accelerates everyone's progress to return to God. Why do we need baptism? Why do we need to turn around? If everything is perfect and God is everything, we should all be in pure consciousness and we don't have to turn around. So we can see the truth of it. The fact of the universe is there was darkness. Something went wrong. And because God is everything, the part went wrong is still a part of God. So that happens in the universe. We are in it. This creation is a relative truth. And the goal of our life is to turn around and become divine. How you become divine? By following the eternal divine path. So you see, everything falls into place if we can see the universe exactly as it is, not what we wanted it to be. So with this explanation, we see that we have the responsibility to realize that we have to grow up, see the truth of the universe as it is, and follow the eternal divine path in order to be baptized to the Spirit of God, and eventually one day realize and recognize that I do not exist. It is God which is coming through me, and He is the one exists. The less of you exist, the more of God will be there. If everything was God and the darkness would not have happened, why are we in darkness? So the truth is that the darkness do exist, and although God is everything, but not everything is in pure consciousness. I hope that answers your question. So we can see with this explanation that we have brought to humanity, everything makes more sense than just accepting a powerful God that has created everything. And then the question, of course, arises, if He's a powerful God and He creates everything, why there is suffering and destruction and separation and all those things? Did He create all these things so humanity suffers? or suffering is built into the creation, as Buddha said, creation and life is suffering, because we are attached to this external world, and when we become attached to it, it becomes so real to us that if anything goes wrong, we will be suffering for it. But then recognize that really this creation is just a temporary thing, and nothing we are attached to will stay forever. We will recognize that we have to go for a more permanent state of being, and that is the essence that we are. So, if there is no other question, I continue with the explanation of the teaching of the mission. We were in a place that God created man. He created man in His image, and He created more than one. He created them, and He created male and female. Therefore, each of these beings were male and female, and they had that energy in them, and therefore they were in the image of God, as God is also male and female and beyond. And God told them that they can eat all the things that He has created for them, but of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, they should not eat. What is the tree of the good and evil? When we think we know better than God what is good and evil, when we say, no, I know better than God what is good for me, just like a child who says, I know better how a car is built than those who built that car. Surely those who built the car know more about the car than anybody else. He demanded that man stay in the spirit, stay with God, and let God come through, and therefore they can know what is good and evil, as He told them what is good and evil, not what they think what is good and evil. And how many people these days, they think they know what is good and evil and tell everybody what is the goal of the life. They say the goal of the life to buy this, to have that, to buy this big house, to buy that big car, have a yacht, have an airplane, be number one. But God said, He who is the humblest is greatest in heaven. And therefore we can see the discrepancy between what man teaches and what God teaches. And that creates, of course, a great rift between what is the truth and what is delusion and illusion. Still, man would not completely come to understanding these things because he was alone. He was all one. He still was male and female in the same body, and therefore he would not progress as fast as he should. Therefore, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. It doesn't mean he was lonely. It means he was all one. He was male and female. And God decided to separate them to two beings, as man and woman. He made him to go to sleep, and He separated the consciousness to two beings. At the same time, you can also say it means that man was more divided to a higher self and lower self, now can be tempted with his lower self to do what God said, don't do it. And also by separating man to male and female, they were no longer in the image of God. They each were half the image of God. They were male and female. They no longer were made in His image, as God is both male and female. And they were naked, and they were not ashamed. They didn't even have a body that we say they were naked, and they didn't have clothes on. They were still in the psychic and the spirit. The meaning of being naked means they were innocent. They haven't sinned yet. They haven't disobeyed the commandment. Therefore, they were not ashamed of anything. They were completely free and one with the Spirit. Now the lower nature comes and tempt the human as serpent, startling them. No, you don't have to listen to God. You are number one. You are good. You can make your decision. You can go against what God said. The Ten Commandments is dead. You can do whatever you want. If you don't listen to God, you become God yourself. Eventually, of course, the tempter made them fall, and they eat of the tree of the good and evil, and they thought they know better than God. When you sin or you do something which is not the Spirit, right away the veil will be between you and God. You will be separated from Him. And that's why when they did that, they felt ashamed. When God came to the garden, they could not talk to Him anymore because they felt they are not a part of Him any longer. Somebody time is asking, is it okay that we desire earthly things, i.e. home, car, etc.? As far as what we desire is possible and they do not become our master, as far as this external world is used for your progress toward the higher consciousness, it's fine. It is even better if it is done in the community of light, and therefore people can share the resources together and create an environment that everybody has enough physiological and safety need taken care of. But if it becomes too luxurious and luxury and we become so attached having things externally in such a way that it become our master and we become self-centered and selfish and feel separated more and more from each other because we have so much that we are afraid to lose, and do not recognize that the goal of the life is to become divine, then of course it's not good, because then you will be the slave of the external world, and this external world is temporary, is not permanent. Your house is going to fall apart, it needs new roof, it needs new cover, it becomes a struggle. But if you share that home with the communities of light, and other people also have a little to not struggle as much as they should if they only wanted it for themselves, then we can create an environment that there will be enough for everybody's need, but not for everybody's greed. If we can teach humanity to share, by reaching to a space, we can even bring greater degree of material well-being for all humanity, and even move to other places in their space and expand human race all over the universe. So we will not be fighting with each other for what is on the earth, which is limited. We have to see, because it is limited, if I take more than only my need or a little more, then somebody doesn't have anything at all. So there has to be an awareness in human beings little by little to create an environment that they can share and create a situation that everybody can have the physiological and safety need taken care of. If they don't, it is not something that you do it for other people. If we do not create such a situation, we will have upheaval, destruction, wars, and separation, and we will not solve the problem that it's getting worse and worse every day, and we can see it is not resolved by we separate ourselves from each other. And we say, as far as we got it, it doesn't matter if the other people have it or not. We just have to look after our own interest, and we only have interest of ourselves in mind, instead of recognizing that the whole universe is interrelated, and humanity have to create that feeling of God is everything. And if God is everything, then we are responsible for everything ourselves. So it's a very dedicated situation for humanity to awaken their spirit and mind and realization that they have to recognize God is everything. We cannot separate ourselves by religion, by nationality, by gender, by anything, because our essence are God, and we have to create an environment that everybody should have their physiological and safety needs taken care of. Then if there is something extra, it goes to those people who deserve it, those who work harder, those who participate or bring greater degree of wealth or participation in the society, and they work toward creating wealth, therefore they can have more. But as far as not everybody's physiological safety need is taken care of, we have to create the consciousness that we have to start sharing. The more those who have a lot share with each other, they will have a surplus that they can trickle it down to those who don't. So if we direct the infinite longing for God toward the material possession, not only we will not be satisfied, but also the more we have, the less other people will. So this is the recognition that humanity have to realize, that there has to be that awareness of sharing first. Sharing is the law. It's not a good idea. The more people share with each other, the more peaceful the societies and earth will be. The more they become self-centered and keep it to themselves, the more the earth will go toward destruction and separation and wars, and it will not end. It's just going to accelerate itself. So it's okay to want to have a house, to have a car, but at the same time, if we create the communities of light, these things become easier for everybody. I hope that answers your question. Lou is asking, where does the serpent come from? The very existence of the darkness is because that part of the universe felt separated from the rest and become self-centered. The very reason for suffering in the universe is not recognizing that we are a part of God and everybody else also is a part of God. That self-centeredness and feeling of the separation from the universe, which is an illusion, make us feel that we have to satisfy our lower nature and do the things that God said, don't do it. And that is where serpents come from, that temptation, that self-centeredness, that not knowing ourselves, not realizing that this external world never, ever gonna give you the satisfaction that you long for. No matter what you want and you think, if I have this and that and that and that, I will be happy. You will not. So the serpent is that temptation, that illusion of separation from God and the longing to satisfy our wants with this external world, which is finite. Our longing is infinite. You say, if I have a car and a house, I will be just happy and okay. You will have a car and a house. Then you say, well, I want a partner. You get your partner, then you have your children. Then you have two cars, three cars. Then you want an airplane, you want a yacht, you want a bigger yacht, faster airplane. When is it going to end? Nowhere. It is not going to end. That is the whole idea. because we are longing for infinity, and therefore this finite world will not satisfy us. That's why we meditate. We awaken our spiritual forces and we recognize and realize, I really don't need too much. I need just a little place to sleep and little food to keep my body going. The rest, it should be shared with the comings of light. And if there is something extra left, of course, we might share it, or the person who contribute most might get a little more, but not that much. And we do not long or direct our longing toward the external world, but we direct that longing toward the creation of comings of light, the kingdom of God on earth, and teaching our children to close their eyes, meditate, awaken their spiritual forces, realize that satisfaction of that infinite longing comes from their own source or self, not from external world. That turning around, actually when you close your eye, you are turning around, you are baptizing. You no longer let the energy go from you to external world, but you close your eyes and you internalize that energy, and therefore your satisfaction more and more come from within you, not externally. If your worth and your feeling of being successful is based on what you have externally, then you are not really successful, because you have directed that desire to be with the infinite to the external world, which is a relative truth. It's temporary. It's not permanent. Therefore, you put your worth based on something which is temporary. Therefore, you're not successful. A successful person is he who bases his or her worth on something which is permanent, and that's your essence. The more your essence progress, the greater success you will have. Because when you leave this body, you don't take anything, not even this body with you. The only thing you take with you is your essence. If your essence progress, you're successful. If your essence isn't progress, no matter how beautiful body you have, no matter how many times you have done nose surgery or plastic surgery or whatever, you made your body beautiful, it's not going to come with you. It's going to be left behind. Therefore, when we put our worth in something outside ourselves, we are in delusion. And that is what the serpent is. The serpent is telling us, yeah, you have to look beautiful. You have to have all this wealth. You have to have all this friend, this mate, this kind of a children, this kind of a car. You have to drive that kind of a car. That gives you that status in a society. You're no good. You're not successful. These are all delusion. This is all the illusion of separation from God. It is all the serpent is whispering in our ears, that you have to have all these things to be successful. But they are not. Because the moment you become attached to something external of yourself, then you are in delusion of separation, and they are not going to come with you. But if your spirit, if your soul progresses, that is what is going to stay with you. You leave this body, you take it with you. It's not something you leave behind. Therefore, that serpent is, again, that illusion of separation from God, and base our life and desires and success and everything else on what society tells us, what the external world offers us, and the delusion we fall into, and it is so real. It is so real that it competes with God. Become more powerful even that so a lot of people even deny God exists. So that is what serpent is, that is whispering to our ears, that we have to have all this thing. Of course, the minimum necessity, physiological and safety need, is preached in these teachings that are necessary. They have to be provided for everyone, but we have to teach human more and more not to long, more than what they need, or at least not long too much more than what they need, and therefore we can create an environment that many people can have their physiological and safety needs taken care of, and by reaching to the space which is full of resources, we can bring greater standard of living for everybody. And if we live in another planet, we still can follow eternally one path, even there, and have environment that everybody can progress. By understanding this teaching as a revelation from God, and forgoing all the religions and dogmas, and bringing this truth to humanity, indeed, this revelation and our coming is the peace that has been prophesied that will come to earth, and it's going to last for 1,000 years. So the way has been given, the way has been shown to humanity to come together, realize there is only one God, one revelation, there is not many. He has created the universe. He has created man. Man has fallen from the grace by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, by thinking they know better than God. God has said many things to humanity, but human still says, no, we know better than God. We do not follow the scriptures, God's words, and now this revelation comes to humanity again and calls those who understand this vision and see it so well thought of. It's impossible for a man to think all this truth and perfection and bring it to humanity. No man can do that unless it's from God. If you can see the miracle of the message, then you will not ask for any other miracles. The other miracles are temporary and will not stay with you if you can't perform it yourself. Even God said those who perform miracles are not the chosen one, and the miracles are not the greatest thing but the message of God. This last revelation that is so perfectly fit each other and bring a new revelation, a new religion to earth. It bring a path to humanity. It creates the comings of light, teaches you not to be attached with this external world, but share and create the communities so the children will have a beautiful place to grow up, the old people will have a place to live, the young people don't have to struggle as much by themselves, and we will not have as much differences between humans and humans, and therefore we don't have to fight and create wars because we are willing to share. And the more we do that, we will bring a unity and understanding to humanity. There no longer will be Jews and Christians and Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and Baha'is that separate one from the other. Because each of them said, my revelation is the last one, is the best one, is given by God, and I'm not going to include you. But this revelation says, no, you are included. You are a part of it. If you bring all of them together, then you can see the whole picture, the whole truth. Then you can become one. And also it teaches the truth of how you can free yourself from the bondage of the illusion of separation and this temporary world, and you have a great grip of the reality. It will bring the unity. It will bring peace. It will bring humanity to where they can progress in a greater degree and accelerate their progress to God. But you have to put God first. That's what I've been saying for the last 23 years. God has to become first in your life and this revelation, your vision. And that's what I'm waiting more and more people to do it. I've not succeeded yet to see thousands and millions of people to see this clearly. But of course, God said this lifetime is going to be the thief of the night, so I have to accept that. But the truth of it is, this is it. This is from God. This is the revelation sent as the last revelation to humanity, and that the vision is perfect. The vision is peace. The vision is progress. The vision is to baptize and turn around and go to God. So let this vision become your vision. This teaching become your religion. You have the greatest revelation from God to you. Accept it as yours and own it. So you can come together as it is envisioned and overcome your ego, attachments, and become an elect. Become a son of God. Become a child of God. And work together closely to create a neat, a strong body that we can all work together and manifest this revelation in every corner of the world and eventually make the rest of the humanity realize their teachings and religion is just a part of a greater truth. And if they do not come to this one, they will not have the whole vision and picture of God. We have a question. When heaven will be here on earth? There are three kingdoms: kingdom of God on earth, kingdom of God within, and the kingdom of God in heaven. Okay, kingdom of heaven in heaven. Kingdom of heaven in heaven is already established. God is in control, and his angels and his teachers and revealers are one with him, and there is no problem there. It is being created, and he is there, and it's perfect. The kingdom of heaven within is when you follow eternal divine path and you reach the sixth seal. Not that I am in the mission and I know the eternal divine path and therefore I am elect, but really meditate, awaken the spiritual forces, direct your energy toward the creation of communities of light, sacrifice for it, surrender and submit to God, and become universalist. If you do that five step, then you will have the kingdom of heaven within. And of course, the second seal, which represents the kingdom of heaven on earth based on the comings of light. If you mean when the kingdom of God or heaven will come on earth, it will come on earth when we create the comings of light, and eventually the hierarchy will come to earth based on the teachings, and eventually we manifest and bring the kingdom of God on earth also. That is the ultimate goal for this mission, to bring the kingdom of God on earth, and also bring the kingdom of heaven within you. That's another goal. By these teachings and repeating this teaching over and over and calling all to come and become one. So the goal of the mission is to bring the kingdom of heaven within you and also on earth. This will happen when each of you follow eternal divine path, each of you become a center of manifesting this vision wherever you are, and attracting like-minded people and create the communities of light, and eventually we can create the hierarchy of this vision. And when humanity is ready and the Babylon of the Great will fall, and humanity will realize that their satisfaction is based within them, not without, then we can bring the kingdom of God on earth. That depends on each individual. The sooner individual come together and manifest these, the sooner the kingdom will come. But it will come. Nick is asking, how teachings would join differences in religions, understandings, like incarnation in Hinduism and its deny in Christianity? Thanks. The incarnation even is in Christianity. Who was John the Baptist? He was the reincarnation of Elijah. And therefore, right there in the Bible, in their scripture, God has revealed that reincarnation is true. The concept of reincarnation was in
Bible and the teachings of Hebrews, but it was taken and they tried to completely wipe it up. But of course, God is smarter than them, and we can see right there, John the Baptist is the reincarnation of Elijah. There is no other explanation how John the Baptist can be Elijah when he was born from Martha as a child. Therefore, it is the spirit of Elijah which came to the womb of Martha and was incarnated or reincarnated as John the Baptist. Therefore, we have to look at the truth and we have to look at the dogmas. Those who have been called for and are elect and see this vision and this teaching recognize the incarnation as a truth. They also have been meditating more than a lifetime. They might even have a feelings of who they were, where they came from, and what they did in previous lifetimes. There also have been many indication and regression that made many people recognize that reincarnation has to be true, and also the justness of God can be known by accepting reincarnation. If God gives us one chance and we blow it, and then God can't judge us because we might have been in a situation we never had a chance. That's not justice. But if God gives us many chances and then we blow it, then God says, look, I gave you many chances. I put you in many different situations. You're not just getting it. You're not progressing. Therefore, I'm not going to reincarnate you anymore, or you go to ignorance, and that's hell. You have to understand the truth and put the dogmas away, but the teachings have unified all the religion, but it did not accept the dogmas and misunderstanding and historical effects and the pagan ideas that have come to these religions. This revelation cleans the human religions to its essence, which free you to God. Therefore, we are not looking for all the people in Christian religion or Islamic religion or Jewish religion or Hindus or Buddhists to come and join us. We are just looking for 144,000 elects and creation of this hierarchy and ability to reach to humanity in a greater degree to spread and teach this teaching to them, and hopefully little by little they also will see this vision and forgo their dogmas and will realize there is only one God. And He sent all these revelations. There is no separation between them, and therefore if they separate one from the other, it is their ego, their dogmas, their misunderstanding. God is one and unifying. So it has been done, it is finished, and it is here. So the only thing is left is to teach humanity more and more to see this vision. So it can be unified. Not everybody might unify, but eventually the kingdom of God will come to earth, and His glory will be revealed to man. And indeed, this revelation is the glory of God. All right, then I leave all you guys to God. May you all pray for this vision and yourself and your community and come together as one and bring yourself and essence to the mission and leave your egos out so we all can become one in God. Have a godly week and be one. Salam, everybody.